what about the connection between hair and stress?
Yeah, majorly. I mean, the body has this like really interesting response system where if you are going through like a really stressful period in your life, what that does is it immediately forces the body to shut down the less important systems.
Like reproduction.
Mm-hmm. And even lower on that scale is your hair.
Right.
You know, your body doesn't really care for it. It's not like a necessity.
Rude.
I know.
Wow. Like, I'm offended by that.
I know. And you know what? It's a good thing to keep in mind because it'll change your perspective on how much you should be appreciating your hair.
It's so true. Can you fix that, please, for us, Jeff?
I know. I definitely can. There's so much hope out there.
You're listening to the Imperfect PCOS podcast, where we share no BS, science-backed strategies to put your PCOS into remission. I'm your host, Corey Ruth, aka the Women's Dietitian. Let's get into it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Imperfect PCOS podcast. Today, we are joined by Shab Kaspara. She is a trichologist, and we're going to learn all about what that actually means, and an expert on healthy hair growth and scalp wellness. She is the founder of Leona, the first tech-enabled hair care retail platform matching women to their best hair growth solutions and devices from around the world. She is the host of Hair Like Hers podcast, featuring top experts in the beauty, health, wellness, science, and medical industries to help consumers connect all the dots associated with the way in which hair grows. Shab's featured in Forbes, Vogue, Women's Health, Allure, Prevention, and Cosmopolitan as one of the most recognized trichologists in NYC. She's consulted as a hair health advisor for the relaunch of Hair Club, the launch of Inky Lists and Augustinus Bader's hair care collections, and is an advisory board member for Birdie.com and New Beauty Magazine. As a member of the American Hair Loss Council, she continues to discover the latest developments and research in the hair growth space. Cannot wait to get started talking to you today, Shab. I kind of want to get into first how you decided to get into this industry, because there's such a huge, huge need and there's such a lack of knowledge out there when it comes to proper hair care. Like, I remember going into the, you know, local drugstore and getting a box of bleach, right? Like, yikes, cringe. So start first by telling us a little bit about yourself.
First of all, congratulations on the launch of your podcast.
Yay, thank you.
So exciting. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome, newbie. And also, we should acknowledge the fact that you were a guest on my show.
We had
an amazing episode on PCOS and linking that to hair. And so we really did a really great deep dive from your perspective. So I'm looking forward to now bringing the hair first perspective for your audience.
Totally. I know. I should have opened with that. That was such an amazing experience because this is something that I personally struggled with. So I was like instantly drawn to what you're doing. And everybody go back and listen to that. You know, I can even link that in the show notes too.
Yeah, it's a great episode. We loved it. It did great. Yay. It was a hit on the show. So,
awesome.
So yeah, so thanks for having me. And this is such a big conversation. There's so much to cover here. I'm really excited to hit everything.
I know.
Okay, so my personal journey, I was born and raised in the hair industry. Since I was a little girl, my mother had hair salons and hair schools in Toronto in Canada where I grew up.
Okay.
And so I was immersed in this real educational kind of environment all around hair and began working for her in her salons from a really, really young age. Cool. Did hair competitions and hair shows and just like hair was my everything. And I decided to move to New York to continue hairdressing. And I was fortunate enough to work for some of the best hair salons and hairdressers here in the city and just had an amazing, amazing career. But what had happened was, especially since I started so young, I hit this inflection point in my career where I started to recognize that when you move with a client through their hair journey throughout their life over the years, you start to see these patterns happening. And so I'd been in the game long enough to recognize that women do go through hair journeys and they do experience thinning for so many different reasons, or hair loss, scalp issues, all these things in their lives that are happening that are kind of being reflected in their hair. And The crazy thing is that, you know, you're working at the best salon in the city. People are paying top dollar to come and see you, and yet you have none of these answers for them.
Yeah.
And so for someone who like, right. And so for someone who like loves to learn and loves to be able to like educate and help people out, mm-hmm. I really couldn't take it anymore that I wasn't the right resource and that there was such a lack of guidance and solutions out there mm-hmm. for women specifically. So I knew it was my calling. Yeah. And I gave my boss a heart attack and quit like overnight. And I was like, I got to go do something.
Yeah.
And it's greater than just the aesthetics of hair. It's greater than just making people look good.
Yes.
But it's about really making them feel their best. So much deeper, right? Mm-hmm, and then, as you know, Corey, once you start peeling those layers back, start discovering all the good stuff. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I left the salon industry and then I began studying trichology. And trichology is the holistic study of hair growth, hair loss, scalp conditions. It's a way of looking at everything holistically that is connected to the quality of hair that you grow, what affects your hair, medications, diet, lifestyle, ailments, like exactly all of that stuff, how it's all connected. And then understanding that, you know, how you can effectuate those changes and maybe grow your hair in even better and even stronger or prevent it from getting worse. So such a great conversation. Loved all that. Got my training and certification in that. And then over the past few years, I've been doing private consultations and I've been working with different brands to help them market what it is that they're doing to the consumer. So helping spread that message of hair health and shifting it from, again, like styling to taking care of your hair from the inside out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So needed.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's where I am today. And I just love it. And I love being able to make a real change in people's lives.
I love that. I love that you started where you did and then you were able to just kind of break past that wall and go and create something so much larger than you probably ever imagined. First of all, anybody not watching this on video, I am very embarrassed because I did not do my hair today. So I was like, even this morning, I was like, shit, I'm having a podcast about hair and I just did not get to do my hair today. So I would love to start with the topic of hair health and hormone health. And, you know, we can dive into PCOS a little bit too, because there's a huge connection there. But tell us first, how can hormones impact the growth of our hair? Is there a connection and what is it?
Yeah, majorly. I mean, without getting too scientific and overwhelming your listeners, basically. Yeah.
We won't get too nerdy.
Well, I'll try my best to stop me if I'm like just.
If you're nerding out too much, okay.
Yeah,
I'll just put up like a nerd flag. Like,
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Yeah, what is that?
Perfect.
Yeah, we need a nerd signal. Basically, what happens is that at the root of your hair, the follicle, the place in which your hair grows out of, there's all these things called androgen receptors. And it's just the way in which your hair reacts to androgens throughout your body.
Okay.
So all the different types of hormones and different kind of derivatives of hormones in our bodies. Mm-hmm. So we all kind of react differently to this. And depending on our hormonal levels, some of us will have hair that reacts in a positive way or either in a negative way. And in the long run, that affects the quality of hair that you grow.
Okay.
So that's how like the underlying kind of connection happens. And so it'll affect the hair. So it can shorten your hair's life cycle. It can make your hair grow less long and less healthy over time. Okay. Or your hair can be thriving because everything is just kind of balanced over there.
But
definitely for women specifically, like we go through all these crazy journeys because our hormones do go up and down throughout life, as you know, Corey, like that plays a big role. And for so many different reasons, everything that affects your hormones is going to directly affect your hair.
Wow. So, you know, of course there are women without PCOS listening to this, but for those of us that do have this very big endocrine hormonal condition, it's really no surprise that our hair can suffer as a result. So, you know, you and I talked about this on your show, but the way that PCOS and hair health kind of interact is because of those androgens. Because those androgens, which are, just to clarify for listeners, androgens are male sex hormones. And I put that air quotes, because women have androgens too. Just we typically have them in smaller amounts, and even men have estrogen just in smaller amounts. So a lot of women with PCOS have these elevations in testosterone and other of these male sex hormones, and that can make hair loss and hair thinning a lot worse. So that's the connection there. So if you're struggling with that, you're definitely not alone. And there's lots that we can do kind of on the, you know, the hormone balance side of things to help with that.
There's no way around it. PCOS is complex and multifaceted. What we know about it, including how best to treat it, is constantly changing. That's why I've dedicated my life's work to helping women put their PCOS into remission. Inside my signature program, the PCOS Boss Academy, women lose weight permanently without restriction and master their most stubborn PCOS symptoms. If you're looking to get pregnant or want to be a mom in the future, my ultra successful Get Pregnant with PCOS program supports moms-to-be every step of the way in conquering PCOS symptoms and bringing home the baby of their dreams. Plus, there's an additional weight loss mode to check into. These are all of the science-backed nutrition and lifestyle tweaks you need to improve your PCOS and change your life from a qualified healthcare provider and leading PCOS expert in the field. Ultimately, we are in control of our PCOS, and I would love to work with you inside one of my upcoming programs so you can step into the best version of yourself and start feeling like you again.
What about the connection between things like diet, like what we're eating and our hair? Is there a link there?
Yeah, diet is so major. Okay. Your hair is basically nourished through your blood, right? And your blood gets all its nutrients from your diet. So being really conscious of what you're eating, like if you're somebody that typically has like really weak, you know, brittle, fragile hair, lacking shine, lacking that luster, lacking the elasticity, or that it's been like getting thinner over the years, it's really important. Like what I do with clients is I look at their diet over time, over the years. How has that shifted? What have you restricted potentially? What have you changed? Have you engaged in a new diet plan? And I have to say, like, one of the biggest things right off the bat is something I've noticed with people that shifted from a normal omnivore diet. So eating like animal proteins and then shifting to like veganism or vegetarianism and just the loss the nutrients just through that change in diet.
Interesting.
Will immediately start to have a major effect on the quality of hair that you're growing. And this doesn't, you know, affect everybody the same way. Some people get affected much worse than others, and some might have shifted their diets and they had no problems with that. But again, all of our hair reacts and responds differently to these changes. So diet is big. Yeah, you have to like be eating a full, complete diet. You need your leafy greens. You need a colorful diet. Your hair thrives off of all the essentials.
Yeah, just like hormones.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about the connection between hair and stress?
Yeah, majorly. I mean, as you know, Corey, like stress and increasing our like hormones and increasing our cortisol levels in our body throws everything off. And the body has this like really interesting response system where if you are going through like a really stressful period in your life, something traumatic, something shocking, you know, something really major, all that stress and all that rush of hormones that get pumped through your body, what that does is it immediately forces the body to just shut down the less important systems.
Like reproduction?
Like reproduction. And even lower on that scale is your hair.
Right.
You know, your body doesn't really care for it. It's not like a necessity.
Rude.
I know.
Wow. Like, I'm offended by that.
I know. And you know what? It's a good thing to keep in mind because it'll change your perspective on how much you should be appreciating your hair.
It's so true. Can you fix that, please, for us, Jeff?
I know. I definitely can. There's so much hope out there. That's the best part about all of this and all these conversations is that we do understand the root cause of it all. And so there is definitely so much room for improvement and so many elements in our life that we're leaving on the table. So yeah, stress is just another one. Your body shuts down the system, the hair system, and it's like, let's put this on hold for a second. Let's reserve our power and our nutrients, and let's have the metabolism focus on other areas in the body so that we can repair and get everything back to normal. And so the hair gets deprived. And when the hair gets deprived and gets neglected, it shuts down and enters a resting phase. And so resting phase is a period of 3 to 4 months where the hair is not doing anything. It's completely detached. And let's say it's been like scared into the resting phase. And then after that, that's when we experience major hair shedding.
Right. Yeah. You know, I've seen that happen. There's been one instance in my life where I went through something really traumatic. Literally like 3 months later, I noticed so much hair loss. And I was like, what is going on? And this is a long time ago.
Yeah. It works. It's like clockwork. Like, I've been through some, you know, as we all have, crazy things in my life. I've been through so many ups and downs. And I remember like one particularly really hard episode of my life, which was a divorce. I kind of thought I was handling everything really great. And, you know, as I do, I don't know, it's my personality. I don't know if you're like that, Corey, also. It's like, it's like, I don't have time to think about how much this is actually affecting me. Like, we just keep moving forward. And all of a sudden, my hair was coming out.
Yes.
Rapidly, right? And you can tell in the shower, that's always like the test.
Yes.
How much hair is like getting pulled out when it's wet and conditioned and all that. And, I had experienced stress-induced hair loss a few years before that, but it'd been a while. And as someone who constantly takes such great care of my hair and I'm on such an insane regimen, it's just not something that happens often, right? We're obviously trying to work against that, but you can't fight against these natural things in our body.
I know.
And I had to stop. And first you have to like accept what's happening. And then I had to kind of question what was happening, right? And I couldn't, because I was in such denial. I couldn't put the pieces together until I counted back 3 months to the day.
Yep.
Was when it like all happened. And I'm like, crazy. Would you look at that?
Yeah.
You can't beat nature.
I know. And that actually, that leads perfectly into my next question about genetics, because, you know, I can't help but feel like that impacts hair. Of course it does, right? Like brown hair, curly, we get that from our genes. But, you know, I look at somebody like myself, who I have two parents who have very just thin hair naturally. My dad lost a lot of his hair as he got older. And my mom has just always had thin hair. So my hair has always been thin and my whole life. It's never been like just super voluptuous. It's just never been that way. So what's the link between, like, what am I trying to ask? How much do genes impact our hair health? And is there anything we can do to like tackle that, to like outsmart our genes?
Definitely. The answer is yes. Answer is yes.
What I wanted to hear.
I know. It's such a great answer. It's such a great discovery that we're seeing also like more recently in like the scientific space. So
yeah.
The thing is that, yeah, we do have genetic predispositions that are going to determine what our hair comes out like. So, you know, the density, the texture, the curl pattern, the color and all that.
Right.
And certain predispositions may lead us to, you know, premature thinning and that kind of like androgenetic alopecia, which is, you know, hair loss is affected by your genetics.
Okay.
But through epigenetics, which is basically like these markers that influence your genome, so like influence everything in your genetics,
right?
We can actually start to change the way in which our body kind of reacts to things. So through epigenetics, we can change our current environment. We can change our lifestyle. You know, we can avoid certain things that put a lot of stress on our genome, and there is definitely room for improvement. And so again, without getting too scientific, what this kind of system is proving is that if you were to remove yourself from environmental pollutants, right? Get into a place that has better air quality, for example. If you can avoid any kind of radiation as much as possible, which is kind of impossible these days, but again, just to be kind of mindful of it is really important. trying to eliminate as many toxins in your hair, skin, and body products, in your household products. These are all things that put stress on ourselves and our bodies. And so they have to react, and being in that kind of reactive stage all the time through all these stressors around us, that's going to start to change your genome regardless. So yes, we are born with a certain set of things, but we are also changing those things with the lifestyle choices that we make every day. So this is the beautiful thing about trichology and hair, is when you're looking at it from this bigger picture, you really start to understand how much power you have over these things yourself before you buy a single product, before you buy a single device, or you start spending a ton of money on like all these things that can also help you. I always make sure that people are looking at everything that they have within their own control.
So true. So
that, yeah, when they live that healthier life and they incorporate more, you know, healthier lifestyles, they get more active, they eat more consciously, and they just take better care of themselves. That's like step number one. You know, let's get your body to like perform its best. And then we're going to do all the supplemental stuff on top of that. So,
Yeah, exactly. Like we can't out supplement lifestyle and what we're eating and what we're, I so agree. That's so cool. Okay. And that's empowering. Like it feels good to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not to say that like, Corey, you know, both of your parents had thin, fine hair that you're going to be able to grow like a thick kind of dense head of hair.
I gave that up. Yeah. I do what I do. I do what I can. But
there is room for improvement. So let's say like if your mother had premature thinning or graying, and or your father, or vice versa, you can do things to prolong that from happening, to prevent that from happening. And you can try and grow in better quality hair. You can control that to a certain extent.
That's so awesome. Okay. Listeners, take note. Amazing. And speaking of all, you know, we talked a little bit about this, but what is the hair growth cycle and why does it matter? Like, why should every woman know about that?
It's really interesting, actually, when you understand how the hair works and how complex the hair system is, then you start to actually acknowledge it more and appreciate it more. Cause you're like, this is a system that relies on so much.
Wow. Yeah.
So the hair growth cycle is basically broken up into three phases.
Okay.
And the first phase, called anagen, is the growth phase.
Okay.
So the active growing of the hair, which can last anywhere from 3 to 6 years.
Okay.
Right. It's the longest, it's the longest phase of this hair growth cycle. So anybody, like what happens is your hair might grow to 3 years and then it'll stop, and that's as far as it'll go. For other people, it could be 6 years. Like that same strand of hair can continue growing for 6 years. It's different across the board for, again, so many personal reasons. But anagen phase, hair is thriving, it's growing. And then what happens is it enters this transitional phase where it ceases to grow and the cycle is done growing at that point, so that it can cease growing, and then it enters a resting phase, which is the final phase, the telogen phase. And the resting phase is the interesting part where the hair starts to kind of detach from the follicle, but it stays on your head for 3 to 4 months.
Oh, wow. Just hangs out, just lingers.
Exactly. It's just there. It's no longer growing. It's no longer attached, but it just takes 3 to 4 months for it to actually fall out. And this isn't affected, by the way, if you pull your hair or anything like that.
Okay.
That hair is not going to fall out until it's ready to fall out.
Okay, interesting.
And the telogen phase is where we get the word telogen effluvium, which you may have heard. That's that stress-induced hair loss. And we were talking about that previously. Like stress can lead to telogen effluvium, postpartum hair loss, telogen effluvium. And effluvium, it just means like an excess of that telogen phase where at a healthy given point, you have about like a third of your hair in that stage anyways. And then when you are in excess of telogen, so again, like that high stress situation or postpartum, then you have way more hair in that stage. And then that's why you'll get like this insane amount of shedding.
Okay.
So your hormones affect the way that those phases actually are all timed out. Like your hormones will throw off the timing and can shorten the growth phase and can like extend that shedding phase.
Okay.
That's why and women especially, like we're so reactive. Our bodies are so reactive to what's happening inside. Right. And that's why like our hair goes through all these ups and downs.
Wow.
More so than men.
Yes.
So a lot of it is that. It's just everything is connected and dependent on your hormone levels.
That's so interesting. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And we know that, you know, women have higher rates of anxiety and depression. So, you know, all that stress induced, you know, all those issues too. So real. Let's talk about postpartum hair loss, because this is something that's so common. And, you know, I do work in the fertility space and I get asked about it a lot. And I've experienced it twice with both kids. And it's what's interesting is my mom didn't experience it at all. So I was fully expecting that I would be, because our pregnancies were so similar. I was like, oh, well, hopefully I'll, you know, escape that. Literally 4 months from my daughter's birthday and 3 months with my son, the day. It was like I had to buy a robot vacuum to keep up with how much hair I was shedding all over the house. It was wrapped around my baby's hands. It was so scary. And I just never experienced anything like that. And it was so anxiety inducing. I get asked all the time, is there anything we can do to prevent postpartum hair loss?
It is definitely the most traumatic thing I've ever seen like clients go through. I think it's one of the worst. Yeah, because it's an intense amount of shedding.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Just so people can understand, because I think the message I always try to get through is that it's so normal. Don't stress out about it, as difficult as it is, because it's physically so taxing and it's just so hard to see that and experience it. But understanding it, I think, also helps people kind of get through it. And that's also hormonally charged, where, you know, that obvious major increase in estrogen while you're pregnant does extend that growth phase of your hair again. So that growth phase gets extended so much that instead of hair entering the shedding phase, it just keeps growing and growing and growing throughout your pregnancy. So a lot of the hairs may have reached the end of their growth cycle, but they just continue growing. So you're shedding less while you're pregnant, for sure.
Yes, I definitely did.
Yeah, you don't see as much hair, and your hair's thriving because there's technically more hair on your head.
Yeah,
it's like the best hair.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then what happens is the mass exodus, literally like the greatest shift that can happen in a woman's body happens all at once. And then your estrogen levels dip and they drop. And then your body's like in survival mode and it's trying to repair and protect on top of that. So what happens is that again pushes all that hair into the telogen phase, which again, like we said, lasts 3 to 4 months. And that's why you don't lose hair until 3 to 4 months after you give birth.
Right.
And the thing to do around that is, listen, everybody does experience it so differently, but it is the time to be supplementing and continuing to supplement and to really be on top of your diet and be on top of your protein consumption, especially postpartum.
Right.
It's like the most important time to be like really calculated with your diet, if anything.
Totally.
And so that can kind of ease it, and that can ease the kind of quality of hair that you're going to grow back in, because never mind postpartum hair loss, but a lot of women then just don't grow in the same kind of hair after postpartum hair loss. So that's just diet related again. But anything to balance yourself out, to help your hormones balance out as quickly as possible. And as you know, Corey, like that's just so diet heavy.
Oh, totally. Yes. Thank you for that. There's so many very expensive supplements. I think you probably know which one I'm talking about, but they are crazy expensive and they're marketed for postpartum hair loss. And I've just never really, I mean, there's lots of there's prenatals and, you know, of course you can keep taking that, which is generally something I would recommend anyway, but there's so many ways in which women who are desperate in that situation, and trust me, I've been there, you know, reach out to try to take another supplement to fix it. And it is so diet driven.
Yeah. I know the supplements can really get crazy.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of marketing at play too. So unfortunately, and I've really done a lot of research in this and I've studied a lot of different brands and their formulations and their choice of ingredients and their dosages. And there's so much markup on this stuff usually. So it's really wild how women are really being taken advantage of during that time.
Oh, I know.
The separate conversation, don't get me into it, but still, nonetheless, it's worth it.
Yeah.
You know, get the best quality that you can. It's worth it. It's not just about your hair.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, Corey, like your hair is just a health marker. Right. We're not doing it. It's not like, you know, it's not the end all be all of who you are and what you are. It's just a sign of kind of what's happening inside. And if you do something that's making your hair thrive, well, it's really making you so much healthier on the inside.
Yeah, it's so true. Absolutely agree with that. Awesome. Well, thank you for illuminating that. So I want to ask a little bit more of a general question, but you know, if someone were to ask you, hey, 3 tips for healthy hair. I mean, that is so general, but what do you typically go to? Like what are your recommendations for women who are looking to make improvements?
I think it's really simple. I think before getting into anything really complicated, I think there's a lot of things that we do daily that we aren't even aware of that are damaging our hair or that take a toll on the hair over time. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that I can point out right off the bat is avoiding brushing your hair when it's wet.
Oh, yes.
Because your hair is like in the most fragile state when it's wet. It's just the structure is not as strong when it's wet. It's actually in a weaker condition. And so like brushing it and trying to get the tangles out while it's wet, it's like stretching.
I have anxiety now just thinking about that.
Yeah. It's the worst thing that people do. And well, a lot of people do pretty often. They're brushing their hair in the shower. They're brushing their hair as soon as they get out of the shower and it's all tangled from like the shampooing and stuff.
Yeah.
And my tip is just if you are prone to tangles, if you can avoid it, if you have the right hair texture, dry your hair first, let it air dry first or power dry with a blow dryer first before you go and brush through it.
What about a comb? Big comb. Is that a no-no also?
Yeah, like a wide tooth comb. Yeah, they're definitely better. I mean, there's wet brushes too. There's a lot of brands that make brushes specifically for when your hair is wet that won't like tear through your hair. They're kind of flexible. Yeah. So those are great. But the best thing to do is let some of that moisture come out of your hair before you go and try to you know, detangle it all.
Such a good tip, y'all.
Yeah. Doing that every single day will tear your hair, will break it, will weaken it so much. So I think that's just like, one of the cringiest things I see that just really gets to me.
Oh, love it.
I think the second thing I would say is ditch the flat iron. People have got to give up their dependency on the flat iron.
Okay. Does that go for curling iron, other hot styling tools too?
Yeah. Hot tools.
All right.
So let's say, I know ladies, it's time to up your hair skills a little bit and lose the dependency on a flat iron. Like when I'm at the gym, you know, you're seeing women in the changing room and I obviously pay attention to how everyone's doing their hair.
Right.
Because I can't help
you
it.
You can't help it.
Research.
I know, right?
Yeah. I'm like, what's everyone using these days? Or what is their approach? What's their method? How can I help them? Like, what are they doing wrong? Like, how can I make this easier for them?
And can you come to my gym, please, Shop?
I'll just do classes in the changing room. the majority of women are still busting out a flat iron to quickly straighten, you know, you're in a rush, you've got frizz, you don't want to manage it.
Right.
You quickly power dry your hair, flat iron, and you're running it over the strands several times.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing that you can do. And if you just kind of learn to dry your hair better in the first place so that you don't have to run a flat iron through it 1,000 times, there's just little tips that you can switch or, you know, upgrade your tools so that you can use a kind of 2-in-1 brush and blow dryer type of thing. And you know, without mentioning any of the brands, there's just so many cool new devices today that that simplify the styling process. So flat irons just gotta go. And the look's not even really in, you know, the straight hair flat. It's just not, it's not in. We need a little bit of body, a little bit of movement. It's easy to get. So if you can ditch the hot tools, and then I would say one other really good tip is protect your hair from the wind.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So
I hate the wind anyway. So I'm curious about this one.
I mean, if you know, the warm season's coming and people might go boating or they might drive with the top down. you know, yeah, we're kind of like more seaside or oceanside a little bit more, and our hair is kind of getting exposed to more elements. Just don't let your hair like do its thing in the wind. The wind can damage your cuticles so much.
Wow, I didn't even know that. I'm learning and then so it,
like,
much.
Forces like pollutants into your hair, and even like, you know, like salt from the beach, and just like all this gunk is in our air that you wouldn't even realize. So even if you're walking, like I'm in New York City, it's super windy. I live like right on the river. It's so windy all the time. And, you know, first of all, it'll ruin your blowout. So like tuck your hair into your jacket or it'll ruin your blowout. Wind will literally ruin your blowout because again, it brings so many elements into your hair.
Right.
So I will never. So this is me. I am at home. I'm getting ready. I'm heading out. I do not ever have my hair down when I step out of my building. Like my hair is up in a loose bun with hairpins until the moment I arrive to my destination. It does not get any oxygen. It's like up. It's protected. And then I'll like put it down as soon as I get to my place. And it's like the hair is perfectly intact. It hasn't been, you know, no humidity, nothing is affected. And it's been protected from the wind. So I think it's major, major, major just to,
so interesting. You know,
yeah. Next time you're on that boat and your hair is just like flying, just kind of think twice. It's damaging. It's really damaging.
Yeah. I've always wanted a convertible, but now I'm thinking twice about that decision. That's so interesting.
Cute bun in the convertible or a low pony in the convertible.
I can handle that. Okay. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing those. I would love to for us to bust a couple of hair myths, because I know you know there are lots out there. And then I really want to move to laser hair removal, because that's a big topic in the PCOS community. And then we'll wrap up, and I would love to, you know, talk about what you have to offer for listeners, because I think you have such amazing things going on right now that are new and exciting. So what are some hair myths that you hear that that we want to, you know, really shed light on?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones is definitely that, like, you're going to find a shampoo and conditioner that's going to grow your hair. So like, people come to me all the time and they're like, I'm losing hair. What shampoo do I use?
Yes.
And I wish it was that easy. Like, I wish your shampoo alone could just do everything that's required to make you grow hair. But unfortunately, that's not very likely. Like, personally, as someone who represents a lot of different brands and carries a lot of different brands, like, the focus is never, oh, this is hair regrowth stuff. No, we just want, like, nourishing ingredients in our shampoo and conditioner just to protect our hair and to not like cause further damage.
Got it.
So is just some
BS. If you see that on the bottle,
it's gotta go. It's such marketing. It's impossible. The shampoo doesn't sit on your scalp. It's not like penetrating and taking its time. It gets scrubbed in and gets rinsed off. Like, how much do we really think can happen?
That's so true. Yeah. When you think about it like that, it makes absolutely zero sense. But I do see that claimed all the time. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think one of the biggest things that, like, I think can help people so much is the way that their conditioner feels. We love to judge products by the way that they're like, they feel on our skin and like consistency and the smell and like all these things.
The smell.
And, so like, Corey, when you use your conditioner, and, you know, it's all like slimy and conditioning and it feels really nice through the hair.
Yeah.
What do you do when you rinse it out? Are you like, are you trying to get rid of that sliminess? I call it sliminess. Are you trying to like get rid of that sliminess, or do you kind of leave a little bit of it in? Like, what's your approach?
I try to rinse it all out just because my hair is so thin that any product weighs it down. So I have to get it all out, me personally.
Yeah. Okay, great. But, so you're like consciously trying to like make sure it's all out.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so good.
I passed. Okay.
Yeah. Well done. I think like we were programmed, and I take the blame of this as being a hairdresser originally, is like teaching people to like leave products in their hair that weren't intended to be left in.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you know, leave a little bit of conditioner in your hair overnight, or a mask or whatever. There's no difference. A mask and a conditioner are the same thing. One's just more concentrated. Mm. But like, these are all products that have been designed to be rinsed out of your hair.
Okay.
And yeah. And so like one of the biggest myths is, you know, leave some conditioner or leave some mask in your hair overnight, or like put it on your hair when you go to the beach, or like whatever, when you're going to have like ugly hair day, or
yeah,
that's just so wrong.
Yeah.
No, it's so wrong. And it just really has an opposite effect on your hair. Like these ingredients were designed and formulated to get rinsed out. So if they dry on your hair, it's going to wreak havoc on your hair over time.
Okay, yeah. So that is a great one.
Yeah. Everybody rinse your conditioner out really well. Rinse it out. You don't want to feel any slipperiness in your hair when you get out of the shower.
Okay.
It's got to be like, it's got to have that like resistance, like squeaky clean feeling. You really want to feel that before you get out.
Okay. Okay. That's really good to know. Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of things that like.
Yeah. No, that's a good one.
Thinking about.
Right. Totally. No. And I think also the brushing hair when wet too is like a huge, like I, you know, I've heard that a couple of times, but it's great to hear, to have that confirmed.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. What about, and this might not be, you know, super your jam because I know you're not working like specifically in this space, but I get asked a lot about laser hair removal. And that's more for like facial hair. Is that something that you were like you ever dabble in or could speak on, if not totally fine?
Okay. Not exactly. But I mean, I have done laser hair removal my entire life.
Oh, and, like, my I've never done it.
Oh, you've never had it done? Okay.
I've never had it done. Correct.
Okay. So I'm like my ethnicity, like I'm Persian.
Yeah.
And I was like born in Iran and we are just hairy.
Got more hair going.
We've just got lots of hair everywhere. Yeah. So,
shame in the hair game.
No, I know. But like, you know, I'm no stranger to laser hair removal. It's been zapped everywhere. It's been everywhere. I will say though, I will say, and everybody, like just through my own personal experience, like everybody does respond to that really differently. And I'm not the type that gets like really good results. So I'm like constantly doing it, but I will say like hair supplements, for instance, will strengthen your body hair. So a lot of women will experience like their hair growing in a little, like their baby fine hair, like all of a sudden it's like a little darker and a little thicker. Or it can like stimulate that hair that was maybe potentially removed from laser. It can kind of bring it back a little bit. So
interesting.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a trade-off that I go through because I'll never stop taking supplements and I, you know, I don't care at what cost it's at. Like this comes first.
Yes, totally. Well, that's good to know. I'd never thought about that from, because I know lots of women with PCOS deal with both hair loss and facial and body hair growth. So one thing that they're doing to support the other could be hurting the other.
They're very different. Like the facial and body hair works on a completely different system than our head hair, our hair head.
Yes. Okay. Interesting.
But in terms of like nutrients, supplements just make everything better. So you're going to strengthen that hair on your body for sure.
Okay. So the curtains are going to match the drapes, guys. Fascinating. I thank you so much for coming on today. And you are just such a wealth of knowledge. And I'm so happy that we got to dabble in all these different topics about hair health. It's so important. Please tell listeners how they can find you, how you work with people, what your offerings are, anything that you're jazzed about right now. I'd love to just cover that. And then I'll add it all to the show notes, of course, with links.
Yeah, for sure. So at the moment, unfortunately, I'm not doing any virtual consultations just because I've allocated a lot of my time to my retail platform, which is called Leona. And I don't know, it might be live by the time this episode comes out. I'm not sure, but you can sign up at leona.co and put in your info and know when we're going to go live. Or if it is live, I invite you to check it out. It's a completely different way of shopping for your hair care products. And it's focused specifically on women's hair health. Surprise, surprise.
So cool. Yeah.
And
love it.
So there's a lot of the fundamental products that you need, including your shampoos and conditioners, including your scalp scrubs, scalp topicals, laser devices, supplements. It's a fine curation of the best products from around the world. So a lot of work has gone into what we're carrying. It's exciting and just simplifying that retail experience. So you don't have to go through trial and error and you don't have to kind of just guess or be influenced by the wrong kind of product. And that's it. So Leona is a space for women. So you can get a lot of education. It's very educational. It's a very conscious integrative and intuitive retailer that really gets to know who you are as an individual as if you and I were having a consultation. So I, you know, we've tried our best to make it so personal and so customized and just eliminate all your hair worries and just start to put you on the right track to start growing your best hair. So Leona.co for that. And I also do have the Hair Like Hers podcast. So if you want to also listen to a lot of hair related content where we bring experts like Corey on to help connect all those dots all over health to your hair, talk about a lot of the latest and greatest in hair services and devices and things like that. And then you can find me on social also at Shab Hair Expert. And you can follow me and I'm pumping out a ton of info and a ton of, you know, helpful tips for you guys. And you can kind of see what I'm up to in the hair world.
Awesome. Oh, we so need that. You know, there's so many products out there. It's so overwhelming. That's such an amazing system. I cannot wait to check it out personally. So awesome. All right. Thank you so much, Shab.
All right, Corey. Thanks so much for having me. This is great.